This morning, I want to talk to you about one of the most awesome inventions that has ever been created. It's an awesome and amazing thing that people use to pass through solid wood, solid stone, solid steel, or solid glass. But it's an invention that we don't think very much about. In fact, I know that every single person here this morning has probably used this invention at least 10 times already today, and you haven't even thought about it. I mean, when you were using it, you never did think how amazing this thing was. You say, "Preacher, how can you know that? How can you know that I've used this thing 10 times this morning?" Well, I know that you used it at least 3 times. I know that you use it to pass through a glass wall. I know that you used it to pass through a wood wall. And I know that you used it to pass through a stone wall. Now, if you haven't figured out what I'm talking about yet, you can look at the bulletin and see the title of my sermon, which is Doors, and know that you did and have used probably 10 doors this morning, probably without thinking about it. You just walked right through. And doors are a wonderful thing. I can't imagine what life would be without them. Can you just think for a minute, what would you do without doors? I mean, doors let us in. Doors let us pass through walls that we could not otherwise pass through. They also keep uninvited guests out. I mean, if we don't want somebody to come in, we can shut the door and they can provide security and privacy. And yet, an open door represents a welcome and opportunity for us to go into places that we might not get to go into if the door wasn't there. The Bible uses doors many, many times. In fact, over 150 times from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God uses the door to illustrate something. For example, he uses the door, and doors have played a prominent role as he has told us about salvation down through the ages. There was the door on the ark. Only one door on the ark. That everybody that wanted to be saved from the flood, from the destruction that God sent in answer to man's sin, they had to pass through that one door. Then there was the doors in the land of Egypt when God was telling us about the Passover lamb, again, painting a picture of our Savior. He told the Israeli fathers to take the blood of a perfect lamb and spread them on the doorpost of their doors, the lintels and the header of the door frame. And the death angel, when he saw the blood spread on the door, would pass over that house and the firstborn would not be killed. So God uses doors and has down through the ages to picture salvation for us. He also uses doors to teach us about prayer. He tells us in Matthew, Jesus says, "Knock, and it shall be open unto you." He uses the parable of the friend who was asleep with his children, and he had another friend come to the door that had a traveler come to his house, and he didn't have anything to feed him. And so this friend went to his friend's house, a friend that was asleep, and began knocking on the door. Knocking, knocking, knocking. And the guy inside that was asleep said, "Go away. I'm already in bed. I've already got my kids in bed. Go away." And his friend on the outside who was knocking said, "No, no, 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 I need your help. I've got a friend that's come. I don't have anything to feed him. I need to borrow some bread." And he just kept knocking and he kept knocking and he kept knocking. The guy inside, "Go away, go away." He kept knocking. And finally, the guy inside get up and said, "All right, I got to get rid of you. Here's some bread. Now go, go, go." And again, God uses that to teach us how persistent we need to be in prayer, not to give up. This morning, out of the 150 verses in the Bible that talk about doors, I've picked 5. And I want to say 5 things about doors. You know, God puts doors in our life. Some of them are open, some of them are closed. He expects us to go through the open doors, and he expects us to leave the ones that he's closed, closed. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This morning, I want to mention three open doors. Three open doors. And then I got a couple others that I want to mention as well. The first of the open doors is the door of salvation. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Let me read it again. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I want to say three things about that door of salvation. You might say, well, preacher, you're tricking us because you really got 8 points. Yeah, but I don't like to tell you I got 8 points because you'll get discouraged. So I only got 5 points, but my first point has 3 points, so you can do the math. So the door of salvation, I want to say three things. First of all, I want to tell you, there's only one. There's only one door of salvation. You know, there are six different ways to get into this auditorium. You can come through door number one, door number two, door number three, door number four, door number five, and there's a door over here that goes outside, door number six. You can get into this auditorium one of six ways. Now, there's other rooms in this building that only have one door. The bathrooms only have one door. The kitchen only has one door. The rooms upstairs, all of them only have one door. People try to tell you that there's many doors that you can go through and get to heaven. They're absolutely, positively wrong. Jesus said, I am the door. But there's people today that say, well, there's other ways you can get to heaven. You can go through the door of baptism. You can get baptized, and that'll make you fit for heaven. And as I've said many, many times, you can get baptized till you know every tadpole by name, and it will not get you to heaven. Baptism does not do that. I threw that southern joke in there for you guys from Kentucky. Amen. All these hillbillies over here. Other people say, well, you can go through the door of church membership. As long as you are a member of a church, that will make you fit for heaven. That's not right. That's wrong. You can join every church in this city, and there are a lot in this community, and there are a lot of them. You can get your name on every church roll. That will make you no more fit for heaven than getting baptized will. Some people say, well, if I take communion, if I remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection by holding that, by taking that little cup of juice and that little wafer, that will make me fit for heaven. I think all those things are good things. I think joining the church is a good thing. I think getting baptized is a wonderful thing. I believe taking the Lord's Supper is an awesome thing as well. But none of those things will make you fit for heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. There is no other door. Later on in the book of John, he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I will tell you this morning, there's many doors to hell. There's a lot of ways you can get to hell. There are many doors you can go through to get to hell. You can go through the door of indifference. You can just decide, I don't care what the gospel says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Sunday school teacher says. It's not for me. You can go through that door and get to hell. You can go through the door of out-and-out rebellion against God. I don't believe this book. I don't believe there is a God. It's not for me. You can go through that door, and that door will take you to hell. You can go through the door of delay and say, well, maybe the gospel's right, but it's not for me right now. I'll think about it next week, or I'll think about it next month, or I'll think about it next year. You can go through that door, and if you're not careful, you'll end up in hell. There's a lot of different doors that you can go through to get to hell. And that's why the Bible says, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. But this morning, I want you to know, as we talk about this door of salvation, there is only one. And that's why the Bible says, narrow is the way that leads to life. And that narrow way, that one door to heaven, is Jesus Christ. So there's only one door of salvation. Number two about this door of salvation, it's a door that's open to every person. It's a door that's open to every single person. Jesus said, if any person wants to come through that door, they can. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. That door is an open door for you. Now listen, if after service this morning, you tell your husband, you tell your wife, I got to go to Walmart. So you drive over to Walmart, you get out of the car. When you go up to the door, there's not somebody there that says, just a minute, Brett, I got to see your credentials before I let you in the door. You got to prove to me who you are. They don't come and say, Mark, I got to check your credit. I can't let you in until I check your credit. They don't say, Doug, you're going to have to prove you're a citizen of the United States of America before I let you in Walmart. You can go to Walmart and every single one of us can get in. Every single one of us. They don't check your nationality. They don't check where you live. They don't check your credit. I want you to know something. The door of heaven is just like that. Just like that. Jesus said, if any person wants to come through this door, they can. They can. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you live. He doesn't check your credit or your credentials. The door of salvation is an open, there's only one, but it's open, and it's open to every single person. And then the third thing I want to say about this door of salvation is you've got to enter it to be saved. You've got to come in. You've got to go in. I mean, the door is open, but you've got to go in. Jesus said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You don't get saved by staying on the outside and looking in. You don't get saved by just standing there and looking through the open door and see what's on the inside. You get saved by going through that one door that leads to life, that's open to every single person. You get saved by going in. It'd be like you go to your favorite restaurant today for lunch. So you go and you open the door and you look in. And you say, man, it looks good in there. And you take a deep breath and you say, man, it smells good in there. And you look in there and you see people eating their mashed potatoes and their chicken fried steak and their green beans and coleslaw. And you say, man, they look like they're sure enjoying that meal. And they look like they're getting satisfied. But I want to tell you something. You will not enjoy the fare of that restaurant by standing outside the door and looking in and smelling the smells and looking at the sights. The only way you'll enjoy a meal is by going in, entering in the door that's open to you and taking the things that are there for your enjoyment. There's some people that look in and smell and envy the things that are being eaten, but they will never, ever get to enjoy them unless they get in, unless they go in, unless they enter in to that door that's open. Some this morning are here, and you're trying to get saved by going through the wrong door. There's only one, and that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some here this morning are saying, it's not for me. I'm not good enough. You don't know what I've done. I don't deserve to go through that door. I tell you what, if anybody had to deserve to go through the door of salvation, none of us would qualify to go. But there is no precondition. It's open to everybody. And all you got to do is come to that open door and go in. Enter in. Go in to where Jesus invites you to come, and ye shall be saved. So, there's the open door of salvation. I hope every single person here has gone through that door. I hope you've come to Jesus Christ and told them that you understand that you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. And you believe this book when this book says that on the cross of Calvary, He took all of your sins. God took all of your sins, placed them on His Son, and He paid the price. And He invites you to come through that door of salvation, through Him, and get eternal life. and a home in heaven. I hope every single person has gone through that door. If you haven't, would you do it this morning? It does no good to stand on the outside and hear about it. It does no good to stand on the outside and look at it. It does no good to stand on the outside and know that on the other side of that door are blessings unnumbered, untold. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. If you're here this morning and you've never gone through the door, would you just go through? It's open. It's for you. There's only one. Go through it this morning. Second open door I talk about quickly is the door of soul winning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Paul said, "I came to Troas, and God opened the door. He opened the door so that I could come and I could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He opened the door so that I could go through that door and tell people how to be saved." I want you to know this morning, God works the same way for us. He opens doors of opportunity for us to share Jesus Christ. I shared in Sunday school, Brother Darrell is in a prison ministry that we help support him from the church. And yesterday, he recorded his over 500 prisoners, 500 people that have come to know Jesus Christ this year in the meetings that he's been involved in. God opens those doors. Brother Jeff helps him. God opens those doors. He opens the doors before us. He brings people across our path. He puts people in our way and opens the door for us to tell them about Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's all of us. By the way, all of us are preachers. Because a preacher is somebody that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what soul winning is. It's those of us who have tried it, going to somebody that hasn't, and saying, "Hey, I've tried this, it's good. Why don't you try it with me? Why don't you try it with me?" Again, since I've got you all hungry talking about chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes, let me just tell you, you have a favorite restaurant, a restaurant you really like. Gail was telling me yesterday, she said, "Preacher, did you ever have a hamburger at the Italian place there, Villas in Mount Moore?" I said, "No, I've had pizza there, but never a hamburger." She said, "Oh, you got to try it. Best hamburger I've ever eaten." Now, every time she eats a new hamburger, I think she says that, but she said, just teasing. She said, "Best hamburger I've ever had." That's what soul winning is. You might tell somebody about a good restaurant where to get a good meal and say, "Hey, I've tried it. It's good. Come on with me." That's what soul winning is. It's going to somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ and saying, "Hey, I've tried Jesus. He keeps his promises. He promised me if I'd ask him, he saved me. I got a home in heaven. And I have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. Doesn't mean my life is all peaches and cream and I live on the mountaintop all the time. But I'm never alone because he never leaves me or forsakes me. I have the Holy Spirit. I've tried it. It's good. Why don't you try it with me? Why don't you try it with me?" And so there's the open door of soul winning. Number three, there's the open door of service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul was at Ephesus, and he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me." And what Paul was saying is, "Hey, I'm going to stay at Ephesus a while because God has opened a door, and I have an effective ministry. There are people here that need my help. There are people here that I can tell about Jesus Christ. There are Christians here that I can strengthen. There are brokenhearted people that I could comfort." Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, "For I am in a strait between two. I'd like to leave and be with Jesus. But there's still a lot of people that need help that I can help while I'm here." So he says, "For me to die is gain. But to live, if that's what God wants me to do, there's still people that I can serve." You know, there's hurting people all around us. All around us. All ages. Men, women, boys, and girls. The hurts come in all shapes and sizes and varieties. Some of the hurting people are laying on the side of the road, naked and half dead, like the man in the story of the Good Samaritan. Some are little children who just want somebody to love them, who just want somebody to hug them, who just want somebody to care about them, because there's nobody in their life that does. There's hurting people all around us. And God opens doors and he says, you are the balm of Gilead. You can comfort and encourage. You can help the hurts of others. By the way, that's why he created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. And by the way, when we do it unto the least of these, our brethren, we're doing it unto him. Unto him. So, the open door of salvation. Would you go through it if you haven't? The open door of soul winning. Every Christian needs to go through that door. The open door of service. We need to go through that one as well. Quickly, let me mention two other doors. Let me mention the closed door. God closes the door of sin. There's a door of sin, and God closes it. He talked to Cain about it in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. God told Cain, he tells us, I want you to do right. I want you to live by this book. Now, sin's all around you. That's what he said to Cain. Sin's all around you. But I've shut the door. I've shut the door to that sin. Don't open it. Don't open it. You see, we as Christians, we don't sin by accident. We sin on purpose. We sin on purpose. God shut the doors of sin all around us. And you know what happens? We go over and say, And we open the door. And we look in there and say, That looks pretty good. I think I could try that without messing up. That's what Eve thought when Satan said, hey, this fruit won't kill you. It'll make you as smart as God. You'll be like God. You'll know the same thing that God does. And the Bible says, when she saw that it was desirous to the eyes. That's what we do. God's closed the door of sin. We go open it and we open it and say, well, looks pretty good. I think I could go in and get right back out before anybody knows. And we open that closed door and we step through and life's never the same. I heard Brother Leonard mention it in Sunday school this morning. Yeah, God forgives us when we fail. God forgives us when we sin. But there's always a price. There's always a price. So listen, there's closed doors all around us. God closed them. Don't open them. Don't open them. Leave them closed. Don't even say, I just want a peek, preacher. I just want a peek. How many peeks have led to sin? I can think about Eve, and I can think about David, and I can think about other people that took peeks and thought they could get away with it and paid a terrible, terrible price. In closing, let me mention one more door, probably the most important door that's in the Bible, the door that we read about in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Again, Jesus talking, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that's not just a one-time knock. It's a continual verb. Knock and knock and knock and knock. Jesus stands at the door of your heart. He stands at the door of your life, and he knocks. If any man hear my voice, which means that he not only knocks, but he calls, and he calls us by name. Brad, Brad, Andy, John, Harry, He stands at the door and knocks. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You may be here today and the door of your life, the door of your heart is shut, and Jesus is standing and calling you by name, and he's saying, you need to be saved. You're a sinner. You're headed for hell. I died for you. Would you open the door and let me come in? Many of us are Christians here this morning. Jesus stands at the door of some of the doors that are in our lives and said, hey, you haven't let me into this part yet. Holy Spirit says, I want to fill you all. I want to fill every part of your life, but there's still some doors that you haven't opened yet. He won't force his way in. He won't pry open the door. He'll knock and he'll call and he'll wait until we open the door. And so there may be Christians that are here that need to take some doors that are in their life and open them up and say, okay, Jesus, come on in. Holy Spirit, come on in. Maybe it's that door of soul winning that you need to go through that he's knocking at your door and saying, come on. Maybe it's that door of service that he's knocking at your door and saying, come on, come on. This morning, most awesome invention that we use day after day after day without thinking about it. But we need to think about these doors that we've talked about this morning. We need to think about the door of salvation, the door of soul winning, the door of service, the door of sin, and the door that Jesus stands at and knocks. Would you open this morning? Would you let him come in? He said, if you let me come in, we'll sup together. Which means we'll just have a good time. We'll have a good time. We'll eat something and we'll drink something and we'll just have a good time, you and I. That's what Jesus desires. Listen, that's what Jesus desires for every single person here, to sit down with you and fellowship. And fellowship. Open the door. Open the door. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for using the simple things of doors to teach us about salvation and soul winning and service and sin. And I pray if there's somebody here that's never opened the door of their heart and walked through that door of salvation, man, woman, boy, girl, they've never done it, I pray today would be the day. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring them to Christ this morning. We'd have the privilege of taking the Bible and showing them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the Christians that are here. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. If there's a door of service that we need to go through, point it out to us. Give us a little nudge and help us to walk through it. Father, I pray for others that are here this morning that are hurting because of some heartache in their life. I pray that they could feel your comfort this morning. Please bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to come. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.